Welcome to Transformative Talk, Critical Conversations for Teachers. I'm Dr. Zid Haddad, a professor of instruction within the Department of Interdisciplinary Learning and Teaching at the University of Texas at San Antonio. I teach undergraduate and graduate courses in curriculum and instruction. In short, I teach teachers how to teach and save lives through the use of critical multicultural education as an approach to teaching and learning. Our podcast is produced by a different group of graduate students each week, giving them an opportunity to talk about what they're reading in my class, what they experience in the field, and how that impacts their own lives and understandings. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our podcast from wherever you're listening. Also, you can ask us questions and engage with us further using the anchor.fm website or the anchor.fm app on your phone. You can submit questions and you can also send us voice messages. And remember, please share our podcast on all your socials so that we can build our audience. Thanks for listening, and here's today's episode.
So this is Lauren
and Andrea.
And we're going to be your hosts for this episode of Transformative Talk. In this episode, we're going to talk about a hard reset and what that really means to us. So we read an article by Latz and Billings all about calling for a hard reset in the school system. And we kind of looked at that as our first question was, when you hear the term hard reset, what comes to mind? I know for me, that means completely starting over. There's no kind of like when you turn your phone off and turn it back on. That's what they she talked about in her article, was it's not turning it off and turning it back on. It's clearing all the data and then starting from scratch, which is kind of what I think of when I hear hard reset. Andrea, what do you think of?
When I think of hard reset, I guess it would be kind of the same thing. I think of like just completely starting new and I guess kind of going like a different route this time and changing your ways to better yourself or, you know, for whatever situation that could be.
Yeah. So I know in our class, we talked a lot about this and kind of the group consensus was creating a blank slate or completely starting over, like a new beginning. Dr. Haddad said it was something that he thinks is very overdue. I know when I was teaching, I kept hearing people say, well, we just need to get back to how it was. Let's get back to how it was. But that's not the most acceptable way anymore. It's not where we should go back. We should use this as a time to change the issues that we've had prior. The next thing we asked was, how does Latz and Billings use the term hard reset? And does the analogy fit with her intended message? This is an amazing article, and it really brought a lot of light, at least to me. That the things I was thinking and the things I was feeling during COVID are valid, and everyone else is thinking it too. I know one of our friends stated that it does fit with her message. She thinks that it really highlighted and recognized the faults in education and finding solutions and what actions to take in order to make it happen need to be addressed. I know as a teacher, it's easy to kind of just get in the rut of this is what we do every day. This is how we teach. This is how we handle these issues. But in the article, Latz and Billings brought up the African-American students. They don't want to go back to what their normal was. Their normal sucked. Their normal wasn't okay. And so I think that that's a really good example of kind of one of the reasons why we need this hard reset.
Yeah, and not just because, you know, COVID happened and everything changed drastically, but because we do have to adjust how we teach and who we're teaching, because you know, technology is a huge part of the world today. And I feel like when COVID hit, a lot of the teachers, a lot of just everybody in the education system was not prepared to go online fully, and they were not prepared. And it set back a lot of the children because of that, because it was like they were planning and they were doing all this, trying to get everything going when they didn't know how to. And so I feel like that really set back our little ones, especially.
No, for sure. I know when we were working, I was a kindergarten teacher during the time, and it was like we were teaching 3-year-olds who had never been in school because they were that far behind socially, academically, a lot of them linguistically. And it caused a lot of behavior in the classroom because for a lot of kids, that was their first time ever socializing with other children. The pandemic was such a scary time for people that I had students who, if they were only children, they had no idea how to interact with peers their own age. And it caused for a lot of really interesting dynamics in the classroom, for sure. The whole thing too with going online, I feel like some schools were able to provide resources like Chromebooks, tablets, computers, iPads, whatever it was, to facilitate that. But they didn't think about the Wi-Fi situation or internet situation. And some schools didn't have the ability to hand out Chromebooks, tablets, iPads, any of that stuff. So the kids didn't have the same access. I worked at a Title I school, and our school gave every student a Chromebook that already, if they've never been in school, learning how to work with a Chromebook is hard enough. And then if your family doesn't have access to that internet or that Wi-Fi, then you have to go to a new location and you have to figure out how to upload or how to connect to the internet. You have to figure out how to even use this Chromebook. I had a parent who was, thank goodness, dedicated to her child's learning, who went and sat in the Walmart parking lot all day and utilized their Wi-Fi. But there are parents that weren't able to do that, whether it be because they had to work or they didn't have a car or whatever it was. There are a lot of limitations that came with virtual learning.
Yeah, over here in my small town, they weren't prepared. They didn't have devices. They had to order them. And then when they were ordering them, they were on back order. Like, so it was a mess.
Yeah, it was a wash as of a year, which sounds harsh, but I think calling for this hard reset is exactly what education as a whole needs. There's so much more going on. And I know we talk in class we talk a lot about social studies and the TEKS and how everything's changing. And it's a time that we need to do something and make a difference, because
we need to take advantage of it, basically.
Yeah. I know I've talked a little bit about my teaching experience during the COVID lockdown. Will you remind me what your time was during that?
So I was actually student teaching at that time. So I got to experience, you know, how it was to teach in that situation through my teacher. So she had like half of her class at home online, and then the other half were in person. And it was a third grade class. So it was hard. Like, I saw what she had to go through and struggle with, and she was a really good teacher, but it was hard. I saw how hard it was for her.
Yeah, I know a lot of our peers talked about it. One of them said that it was horrendous, to say the least, which I think is really hard for the education field in general, because they said they didn't know how to properly teach in a new platform, how to connect with students when they were offline half the time, or conduct hands-on activities through a computer screen, which I think is one of the biggest things, especially for the littles.
Elementary,
during
yeah.
kindergarten, during virtual, and during the lockdown, if I plan an activity, it has to be with things that every household's going to have no matter what. And there's so much variance that it was really hard to do. And I didn't want to just send home a worksheet like via Google Classroom or have them do an online activity. Like, I really wanted my kids to be active, be outside as much as possible, safely, that type of thing. And when they're at home with parents who are also trying to work from home, it turned out to be quite challenging. And I know some people in our class said they missed the whole experience entirely because of it. They missed observations. They missed, I don't remember if she said she missed student teaching also, but she missed a lot of the things that lead up to student teaching and feeling comfortable in the classroom on your own. It's a scary thing after going through undergrad and observing and student teaching during a normal year, much less COVID.
Yeah.
Something else that we talked about was the transition. I know transitioning is hard in all aspects of life, but transitioning from virtual back to in person takes a toll on, I think, everybody. I hear adults talking about how hard it was to go from, I got to work at home in my dress shirt and pajama pants, and I got to take a lunch and watch TV on my couch instead of having to be in the office and transitioning back into the office space, how hard that was. But think about how hard it was for the little kids, or not even just little kids, all students. They're so different in the way that they act and the way that they conduct themselves.
Yeah, and I think the routine of it all was hard to transition back to as well, because when you're at home, of course, I know over here at the school here in my hometown, the little ones, they would only get on, or they only needed to get on for a couple hours a day. And so it wasn't like a full day thing. Of course, because there's so little, like their attention span with a screen is just not there. It's not there. So I know, I mean, I can only imagine how hard that was. It was hard for my son. My son, I would catch him like falling asleep on like with the computer. And I'm like, this is hard. Like,
for sure.
And he was in second grade. And I was like, it's hard for them. You know, it's something they're not used to. So it was hard, that transition, you know. And like you said, for the teachers too, it wasn't easy.
No, I think the falling asleep and the attention spans are a really good thing to bring up, because the amount of screen time that the kids had at such a young age is crazy to me. And I remember multiple students that I was teaching would be in bed and they'd fall asleep because school starts so early. And if you're expecting them to be on Zoom first thing in the morning, that's really challenging, especially if they don't have the home support system. I know I had some kids who had a great support system at home, and their parents would help them log on. Their parents would help them kind of get the morning started. And then I had some that would never log on because they couldn't figure out how, and their parents were already working and weren't there to support them.
Yeah, or there was some too where older siblings were taking care of them, and there was three kids online at the same time, so it would keep kicking out one or the other. And so that was a lot of issues too with that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then it goes back to the expectation level. When you're trying to convey information to kids, especially in such a little like environment, a small knit group of just screen to screen, they don't really get your full personality. They have a hard time connecting. Mm-hmm. And I think that when Latson Billings calls for this hard reset, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel like it definitely needs, something needs to happen. Because a lot of people don't even have materials that they used during that time, because they didn't like it. They hated it. They don't want to remember that time. And so it's just a, it's a hard thing to look back on.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know how much experience you have with some of the like online apps that were utilized. I know we used Google Classroom and used Seesaw a lot. And I was talking to one of my other coworkers, maybe it was last week, about Seesaw and how we're both really bad about using it now. And I looked at her and I was like, honestly, I think that I'm so bad about using it because that's all we use. That's all we could use to engage our students and have kind of some back and forth, because they could turn an assignment, I could comment on it or edit it, and then they could return it in, they could record themselves, they could record their voices. And so that was the best I could get. And I don't use it anymore because I think it brings me back to that pandemic time, and I don't want to. I'd so much rather be in person, hands-on, watching them do things and have that manual artifact rather than have their portfolio on Seesaw, which was a great tool when used correctly, but we used it so much that I just kind of put it out of my mind.
Yeah, I didn't have too much experience with like apps. We did use Google Classroom for like the slides that she would use on a daily, where it would kind of go through whatever they were learning about or whatever, you know, the different topics for the day. But I don't know if it was Seesaw. There was one, I don't remember though what the app is called, but they were kind of like slides that they would go through on their own, and they were able to edit it.
Yeah.
And like answer, it had like little interactive games too, like where you would have to match the cards or stuff like that. I don't remember. I don't know if it's Seesaw. I don't remember what it's called though.
Well,
but
I feel like this quote that we kind of pulled out by Latson Billings, it says, "The hard reset demanded by the COVID-19 and anti-Black pandemics of 2020 require us to engage in culturally relevant pedagogy that takes into account the conditions of students' lives these occurrences set in motion." I feel like that is a big, that just kind of sums up the article in a great way and sums up what we were just talking about. Students' lives and their lived experiences contribute so much to learning, and we have to be able to take all of that into account.
And I don't know if you experienced it like as a teacher, Lauren, but I know in one article we read, it talked about how they were able to see like into the families' homes because of going online with the children. And so they kind of learned about their student in that way. I don't know if that was something that you experienced personally.
Yeah, some of my students, for sure. I definitely felt like I got a look into home life, and sometimes not in the best way. You could kind of hear parents yelling at their kids or see a parent being completely absent. And so that really gave you, when that student came into school finally for in-person teaching and they had a harder time building a relationship, or you could see them struggling, it kind of connected those dots. But then I also saw the parents who would drive their kids to Whataburger or to a coffee shop or to a neighbor's house that does have internet to be able to participate in school. So it kind of gave you an insight that you wouldn't have if you just saw them at drop off and pick up.
Yeah.
Well, I think now's a perfect time to take a break. So we'll be right back after the break.
So are you like able to edit this recording, or should you like stop it and then start again, or no?
I was going to try and figure out, maybe I'll stop it.
Hey, it's Dr. Haddad. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transformative Talk. If you like what you hear, please make sure to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on and leave us a message or send us a comment on the website.
We look forward to hearing from you all, and thanks again for listening to Transformative Talk.
Welcome back to this week's Transformative Talk. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Andrea.
Your hosts. So we're going to continue talking about a hard reset after the pandemic and kind of looking at a scenario. I thought it was a really fun activity that we did where we called it like a time capsule activity, and we laid out this scenario to our peers, and it is 2086, and the COVID pandemic has reared its ugly head against humanity every 23 years. As usual, humans never learn lessons they should have learned from the pandemic. That's where you come in. You're a part of a special presidential commission led by President AOC, seeking to look back at historical documentation on what it was like to teach during a pandemic to see what we should have learned. Working with a partner, explore this archive of master's portfolios of UTSA's curriculum and instruction program from that era. What can we learn from the different portfolios that you observed? How did they talk about the pandemic, and what did they call for? And did they call for a hard reset? So our classmates were given access to a bunch of portfolios from students in the curriculum and instruction program at UTSA. That was kind of like their final cumulative assignment. And a lot of it was done during the pandemic. And when looking at it, they saw a lot of students who were upholding their ideas and really wanted to be critically cautious and showed that they had a need for culturally relevant lessons, but they didn't see a lot of mention of pandemic issues or experiences. Why do you think that was?
I don't know. Maybe it's because they didn't want to like mention that time. Like you said, it was a difficult time, and maybe they just didn't want to highlight that in their portfolio. Even though I think it would have been something good, like to include, you know, like, hey, this is what I went through. This is what I experienced. And, you know, this is how I managed to get through it. Or I don't know. It would have been interesting to see what they had to say about that.
Definitely. I think you're right that sometimes it's easier to just not talk about it. And I think that that's one of the issues we're going through still with the pandemic. It's something we have to talk about. It's something we have to address. I remember one of our friends saying something along the lines of, they probably didn't mention it because that's just their norm. And that really kind of hit me that, like, it is their norm. That was the norm. That was what we had to go through. There wasn't anything different. The kids had such a hard time coming back to school because that's something they never had to do before. It was a completely new idea for them, having in-person class. And as teachers, I think a lot of us didn't do the best job of welcoming them in a way that wasn't in such a craze or a panic. I know I was having a hard enough time adjusting. And then I had 28 kindergartners who had never been in school before by myself. It just caused for a really chaotic year. And I think it continuously shows as these kids get older and older, it's always going to be a part of them. It's always going to be a part of our life. And I think that we as a whole need to take a step and say it is time for this hard reset, whether it just be to start in our classroom or our school or wherever it is, but somebody needs to take that step, and we need to really show why Latz and Billings wrote this article, what difference can be made from it.
Yeah. I agree.
I know for me personally, working in a Title I school, there were some behaviors that caused a lot of distraction in the classroom. But looking back on it, it was hard to not almost justify them. Because I had a 4-year-old. When the pandemic hit, he was 2. He had some family matters that caused him to be a little delayed. He was not in the most loving home. He had never been somewhere with that many other children. And so there were so many other factors that played a role in it. And I just feel like his parents ended up pulling him out of school because they didn't feel like it was the right fit for him. And it just broke my heart because all I can think about is where that kid is now. Like, what happened to him? Where is, I hope he's okay. I hope he is found a school that did fit for him, but it was just, you could tell the parents were so stressed and overwhelmed and they just didn't know how to handle it. And as teachers, we were so stressed and overwhelmed, we weren't able to help them get to that point either. And that's one of the students I think about a lot and how I hope that he's doing okay. And I hope that being able to kind of call for this hard reset and think about this hard reset and trying to kind of reset my own mind can help more students like that.
Yeah. And I think this, I mean, we can connect obviously this article with the book we read in class, because it goes back and it talks about, you know, the history of curriculum and how it got to where it is now. And it's important to know, you know, how far we've come, but how far we still need to go.
Definitely. I know we talk a lot about culturally relevant lessons and how it can be scary to have to try and teach something that your school might not agree with or the state doesn't approve of. And as teachers, we always joke about a closed door policy. I think when you teach at a school of students of different cultures, different ethnicities, different life experiences, we're doing them a disservice if we don't bring that into our classroom.
Yeah.
And allow them to kind of thrive in their own culture, in their own life.
In their own way, because not every child learns the same. Not every child has the same, like you said, lived experiences. So one child may know so much about one thing while the other one doesn't know about that. You know, it's so, yeah, it is very important to bring in that culture and bring in, you know, learn about them and their lived experiences.
Definitely. Well, Andrea, do you have anything else to add before we wrap up our episode of Transformative Talk?
Nope, I think that's it.
Awesome. Well, that's all for this episode. Thanks for listening. And remember, if you want to support, please do.
Like, subscribe.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.